QTH. Headed on a mass consumable run.
Alright, so, it's hot out, I'll tell you that. Temperature in this, my thermometer in the car reads 100 degrees. Now that can't be, can it?
Mine just says 75. You must be way off.
Yeah, you're indoors, I'm sure. It said 100 degrees before. It says 93 now.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you the truth with the thermostat here in the car is reading, but I just pulled out of the basement, so I guess that says something about that. And had a chance to catch up. It's miserable. That's a good way of putting it. There's another noun that I can't think of right now, but either one I'm sure fits. It's terrible outside.
Proper air conditioning. I never had central air conditioning. I got like two or three window air conditioners, and that place has always kind of had electrical problems.
He had when we was younger, and for many, many years, we finally did get central, and the guy that installed it wasn't the best in the world. But at any rate, it was a lot better than the wind air conditioners. I remember those when Dad first put them in. And it was a blessing in Kansas. But it's not a very efficient way because there's just not proper circulation. And oh, does it cost nowadays. Our kids got some estimates the other day, and one estimate was like $14,000 or $16,000, and finally they got down to where it was like $8,000, and that's what they went with.
A double wide mobile home, maybe 1,200 square feet, maybe less. But still, I think I'm looking at least $3,000 or $4,000. The ductwork is there, but it has to be repaired. And yeah, you know, it's just not worthwhile doing. I guess I just gotta suffer through the summer. And the other thing is there's power problems because I just recently discovered the master bedroom, the living room, the two spare bedrooms, all those outlets are on one breaker. This 15 amp breaker. So, gee, I'm surprised it's even working at all. I don't know who wired it that way, and I can't really easily fix it.
It can be a nightmare. And if you get a central air, it has to be a central air for a mobile home, I'm sure. They're a pain. And everything is hybrid, so if you buy a part or something, well, you got to go to a mobile home outlet.
Turns out you can't even count on the wiring to be correct. Who the frack put four rooms? Let's see. Master bedroom, living room, the spare bedroom that's just storage, so I don't use that for anything. And no power comes out of there anyway. And the other spare bedroom. So I'm guessing that 15 to 20 outlets on one 15 amp breaker. 14 gauge wiring. I don't want to put in a bigger breaker. That's not going to help the problem. I have to split that circuit somehow, and that's a lot of crawling around under the house and a lot of nasty things. So I just got to live with it.
DR. Well, you could, if you got a spare spot in your breaker box, buy some underground feeder cable and just make loops out of, let's say, we'll call it baling wire or any kind of a strap to hang it down away from the studs. You don't want to nail it to the studs. And you can run it over to wherever you want your room air conditioner at, and then come up to it. But you don't want to attach Romax or anything like that to the bottom of a mobile home, but you can sure make a loop down there and hang it from it and run a separate circuit. But no, unless you got lots of fire extinguishers, you don't want to add a bigger breaker on that. And whomever done that sure wasn't doing it by the code.
I can't figure. I mean, you figure these things are basically made on a big factory floor. So, you know, they're at least produced correctly. But, yeah, I didn't discover that until recently, because I guess maybe the summer wasn't this bad until recently. Or no, maybe I added a third air conditioner somewhere. That's the straw that broke the camelback.
Yeah, most of those air conditioners will just about load up a 15-amp receptacle. They'll run about 12 amps or so. And there's an inrush, of course, when they start, 3 to 5 times over what the running amps is, because it's an inductive load. But all my years of wiring back in Kansas, code was 12 American wire gauge. And so we used 12-2 Romax with ground. And I noticed in Kids' house, and it's a new house, oh, say 10 years old, and it's way better house than what we live in, a different pay grade. But they approve 14-gauge for the outlets now. I wouldn't do it. I'd put 12. But almost all your receptacles, unless you buy a spec grade, they are 15 amps. So I can see where they've done it, but I think you're limited to 5 receptacles. But don't go by me. It's been too many years, and I didn't do a lot of house wiring. I did industrial wiring.
House wiring. That house that I used to own near Greenville, I did everything from the service entrance all the way to the circuit breaker panel. I didn't redo any of the interior wiring, but, you know, I took out the 50-year-old fuse panel. Oh, it was a nightmare before. I'm surprised the place didn't burn down. And I ran, you know, new wiring to a new meter, to a new circuit breaker panel. I ran some new wiring, and basically, other than that, I just reconnected it to the old wiring, and, you know, nope, not going to burn down now, at least not for electricity. If I wanted to, I would have ripped out all the old wiring, but it didn't seem all that bad, and I think it was all 12-gauge wiring to all the outlets.
We moved into our house. It had knob and tube wiring in the attic, and I've seen a lot of that back in Kansas. And some of the houses had one circuit running through the peak of the house with two separate wires and no ground. Yeah, I've done an appreciable amount. I wired federal units for old age people back up in Kansas. I helped a guy out. And it was federally inspected. And I wired 4 garages for my brother-in-law and did some electrical work for him and that. But mostly what I done was 483 phase in the plant I worked at. Was a large machine shop, and I took care of 300,000 square feet. And so I was used to bigger stuff and more complex stuff than house wiring, like falling off a log, put it that way. But you still have to know what you're doing and comply with the National Electric Code. It's just, I never did care about crawling through attics when it was 140 degrees.
In this particular case, crawling underneath through the crawl space, which I guess during the summer and the winter isn't very much better. Actually, what I should have done is I should have crawled through the attic and got rid of all that wiring, and, you know, especially with the squirrels were chewing on it.
Oh, I don't know. I think any time under the house is not bad. Now, I don't know about trailer houses, but our old house was built in the late 20s or early 30s, and my dad actually got stuck under there. He was a big man, and it was just where I'm a scrawny guy, or was, and I had a hard time crawling through there. And one of my lungs is attached to my rib cage, and I can't hardly lay on that side at all. And it was much, much worse when I was younger. And I had adhesions on that side. And it was really tough for me, especially the plumbing, because it freezes up in the wintertime and bust. And, you know, Kansas is hotter, and Kansas is colder than it is down here.
Space of the double-wide trailer is the only crawl space I haven't really been through. Something about that crawl space scares me. I don't know what it is, because it doesn't usually bother me. I gotta get under there anyway, because there's that one place near the kitchen where I've got, you know, the planet Klendafu with 1.6 million roaches, so I gotta get bug bombs under there anyhow. But, yeah, you know, generally it doesn't bother me. This crawl space bothers me.
Well, if it's under the house down here, it would me too. You guys have copperheads down here. We didn't have those where we live. But we had possums and things like that under there, and regular old snakes, you know. But I'd rather take a beating than go under a house. Now, this house of the kids, this guy, you can almost stand up all underneath of it. That ain't so bad. This is Zero TR.
Yeah, that was the house near Greenville. There were places in that crawl space I could almost stand up. Although it got lower on one side than the other, because I guess the land sloped that way slightly. And, you know, that wasn't bad. You know, I'm not usually claustrophobic, but this crawl space in Gray Court's got some low spots in it. And, you know, There is a bit of a critter factor. I've never gone all the way back. I've never gone more than about 10 feet from the hatch on the one side.
Well, buy a bottle of Calstar, Calstar. It's got bifenthrin in it, and spray that under there, and that'll eliminate your critter problem. It's the best chemical I ever used, and it really kills the old bugs. And we had brown spiders back up in Kansas, a lot of them. Now, I got bit when I was 9 years old, and it's about like getting bit by a rattler, only it acts a lot more slowly.
Brown spider, that's the brown recluse. It's got sort of a fiddle-shaped marking on its back or its belly. It's not a real big spider. It's highly, highly toxic. And the only other spider I know of around here, which I've actually seen down in crawl spaces, but I figure if it hasn't bothered me by now, it's not going to. The only other one I've seen is the Black Widow.
You have lots of Black Widows down here. And Calstar will kill them. And the brown spider. Now, they said that this is not indigenous for the brown spider, but I saw one on the back of our house when we first moved down here. Don't have a problem with it now. But yeah, they're called a fiddleback. And the game warden down in Arkansas told me, I down there on my motorcycle one time, went in a museum of critters, shall we say, at a dam site. I think it was Lake Tenny Como or something. And he could ounce for ounce. He said the brown recluse's venom is as toxic as a diamondback rattler. The only thing is it injects a much smaller amount, and it takes a lot longer time for it to take effect. And that's exactly the way it does. And a lot of times people don't know it until they're going to have a skin graft because it just rots a big hole in you.
For once, may or may not be true. Out of all the arachnid poisons, the deadliest one, strangely enough, is the daddy long legs. And it doesn't, you know, it's such a small spider that it can't bite you. Its mouth parts are not big enough to physically grab onto anything. But that's supposedly one of the deadliest arachnid poisons. Kind of like the coral snake. Very, very, very venomous. Probably more toxic than cobra venom. But little tiny mouth. It can't grab anything bigger than a finger or maybe a toe. So if you have shoes on, you know, you're generally fine.
Well, pretty much true. I've heard that about the daddy long legs. I can't confirm or deny it. I really don't know. But, wow, this truck driver is trying to turn around in the middle of Buncombe Road here, and he didn't make it. Oh, geez, not a good thing. Down here by the hospital, Gibbs Cancer Center, I guess it is. But, at any rate, I've heard that. Now, the black widow, if you get bit by it, you will have excruciating pain almost immediately after getting bitten. And it's a terrible pain. But the brown spider, you won't even know it. I got bit on the wrist, and the doctor said, no, I was up in the crab apple tree. I was a kid. And he says, no, they're not around there. They like cool, damp places. Wrong. They like to get in between old newspapers and old cardboard and things like that. And that's exactly what bit me. And they give me an IV shot for, well, I don't know, about 15 minutes at the doctor's office and sent me home. And I think it was packed in ice or something, but there were three big streaks coming out of it, going up my arm towards my heart. And supposedly that's the poison.
People have a much worse reaction than others. Black widow venom, I don't know, is generally, it's nasty, but I don't think it's generally deadly. And doesn't have that many bad lasting effects. The fiddleback spider venom, you know, actually, in extreme cases, people have lost parts of limbs. Because, you know, the necrotized tissue, you know, sooner or later, gangrene sets in. And at that point, you have to cut away the affected tissue.
My boss's daughter got bit by one on her inside calf, her leg. Ooh, this guy just almost hit that Harley in front of us. The guy gave a turn signal. Anyways, the widow can kill you. It's neurotoxin. And the brown recluse is not. It's a blood toxin. And it's bad. I can't remember all the specifics about it, but it's like a hemoglobin thing. And it does just about the same as a rattlesnake or, say, a copperhead would do.
Rattlesnakes are hemolytic toxins. Cobras might be as well. Some of the others, like I know the Carl snake is a neurotoxin. Yeah, I guess it's in that category. That's why it ends up destroying tissue around a wide area. You know, all the capillaries and things are destroyed.
It's a neurotoxin. And it depends on the rattler as to which one. Now, the Southern Pacific rattlesnake has a combination of the two. And it's really, really bad if you get bit with those. And they build houses back in their territory, and There's a lot of people get bit. You know, they're building houses in the desert out there, and they've encroached on their homes. But that's one of the worst I've heard of. And the coral snake, it is neurotoxin. It can bite you between the web of your finger and stuff like that, but that's, you know, about the size of it. Not an aggressive snake, I don't think. But at any rate, up here, grandson got bit by a cottonmouth here a while back. They are very aggressive. And it cost him about, I think in the end it was like $38,000. The doctor said it'd be around $50,000 for the end of venom, but it wasn't quite that much. But this happened last year, or year before. He was 8 or 9 years old, and man, you ought to have seen his foot the time they got that end of venom in him. Bad news. That was over at Lake Lyman. Anyways, gotta go, Glenn. We've arrived at our destination here to take the kids some peaches and that, and they're not home, but we're gonna drop them off. 73s, have a good day. This is Gerald T.R.
Got a story here or go home, not sit here in the car park. All right, we'll talk to you later. 0TR, KD2VNG, I'll be clear.